All right, welcome. You've got Dustin Atwood here. We're going to give a healthy discussion about automotive repair as normal. When we kind of sat down and thought about, you know, whether we were going to do a show and how we were going to go about it, a lot of it, I really wanted to make sure it was educational, because in the shop environment, I have lived in both roles, obviously the service advisor, management side of it, a lot of the, basically the folks that you deal with when you go into a repair facility, and then the repair side of it, the getting the work done, getting things, you know, diagnosed, figured out what's going on, and proceeding with the repairs. And what I found out over the years is there's a lot of, you know, kind of smoke and mirrors, if you will, or Wizard of Oz, and the, you know, the wizard behind the curtain doing things, and you don't know what he's doing or she's doing. And I wanted to share that with you guys, and if you will, you know, expose that, you know, kind of mystery about what goes on. The industry changes so much so fast that we have to continue to keep up on things. And what I did 10 years ago in the repair field or the advisor field is not what works or is, you know, valid or something that is going to give a lot of value for most of you out there listening. And I really wanted to make sure that the premise of this was really about that. And the reason and the driving force behind that is that I continue to get the same questions from many people, new customers, old customers that have been with us a long time, second and third generation customers coming in, people that have got on, you know, AutoMD and tried to, you know, Google their way through it. And I'm not poking too much fun at it. But if it was that easy, I would, you know, do things a lot differently than we do at A1 Custom Car Care. So the whole mindset of being informed, especially in today's age with all the shenanigans going on in the world, is absolutely vital, no matter what it is, whether it's politics at this point, whether it's, you know, medical, law, you need to deal with somebody that is informed. And I'm trying to share that information with you all so you understand, hey, how you can participate better in the repair process, get a better outcome, and have a better relationship with whoever it is doing your service. If you've got a trusted shop, whether it's an independent or a dealer, that's great. You've got to have good communication back and forth to make sure that everybody's on the same page. But there's a role that the customer needs to and has to play in this as well. And we're going to talk a little bit about my most common call or stop by questions that I get here in the shops. And I work at all of our locations. We've got one out at Republic, fantastic facility, great team out there. And then two now there in Springfield. It's been a few years, but we've got a beautiful location on Sunset. And then, of course, the location I spent most of my career at was at our Fort and Sunshine location. And no matter which shop that I'm at, I get a very similar line of questions. So we're going to go through that. If you all have a question that maybe you know, hey, I'd like to know, shoot a text there at the studio. They'll try and come through my ear here and let me know what the question is, or we'll have a discussion about it. But we're also going to talk about some of the things going on in the shop before I get to my list of questions today. I have noticed the last, I'm going to say 6 months or so, the amount of fleet work that has been seeking our facilities out has definitely jumped up quite a bit. There was a time many years ago, and it's probably a little over 15 years ago, that I did leave A1 Custom Car Care and I went to work for another company. Gave me a lot of perspective. And obviously at this point, 15 years later, I saw how valuable the atmosphere, the staff, the ownership was at A1 Custom, and I had come back. But the reason I bring this up is I left to go to a fleet service company, and we did all kinds of different stuff. But the automotive field part of it was a big part because that's my you know, strong suit or background. And I've noticed the relationships that we've built with some of the fleets and some of the fleets that are seeking us out at this point, the really understanding and the value that we can add to that fleet work. If you have a fleet or you work for a company, and there's tons of you out there that do, is the downtime or the turnaround time. Now, this is no different than your family car, because you've got to get the kids to the doctor. You've got to get the kids to, you know, school, soccer practice. You know, life hopefully will go back to normal at some point in time, or a new normal, if you will, and there'll be community events. So what happens with a lot of fleets is, and this relates to your family car, when you drive around any of these towns or Springfield, you know, metro area, you'll notice there's much more than just two-car families anymore. You'll see five, six, seven cars sitting in a driveway. So some of you out there are thinking, why do fleets matter to me? Well, you are a manager of your own small family fleet as well, and turnaround time is super important. So having the talent, the staff, and the facility, and I urge you, before you go and deal with a shop, whether it's ours or somebody else's, give kind of a look to, you know, have the cars been sitting around for months and months and months? Is the grass grown up around them? Are the tires flat on that? You will see that at our facility on a very few and specific basis. There's times that, you know, we've taken on different projects and customers travel and whatnot. But very rarely will you see that at our facility. I notice it when I drive around to other repair shops for sure. You know, you kind of look at that back lot, you know, the back row beauties back there that, you know, are pretty much just sinking back into the earth. And that's not something that we really, part of what we do. We like to get it in, get it diagnosed, get it fixed, and get it back to you in a reasonable manner. And I'm not going to say that's going to be something where you can sit and wait on every repair. But we take a lot of pride in the turnaround time, and I believe that's a big reason why the fleets have been seeking us out. Some of the other things that have been going on in the shop, we've had a ton of heavy line or big repair stuff. We've got a bunch of guys that would be like head gaskets, clutches, dash work. Eddie, our technician that we're, you know, been building for the last few years, did a beautiful dash pull. You really want to find the right person to do interior dash work. That's not going to be every mechanic or technician you ever find. You find somebody that doesn't have the finesse or the patience, you'll find a lot of broken stuff when you go back together. And Eddie, you did a great job out at our Republic shop this week. It was fantastic to watch him work, turn the car. We kept it an additional day. We found a broken blend door in there. We fixed that. It took us a day to get it. But I believe if it didn't get picked up yesterday, it got picked up today. So beautiful job. Lots and lots of air conditioning work or AC work. It's obviously coming into summer strong. The humidity is going to be in your face. You don't want to show up to work or home or whatever and just be sweating to the oldies, by no means. We've done tons and tons of shows, and I'm not going to go into it too deep today, about the quote-unquote AC Pro in a can. The marketing company for that is just remarkable. They have put that out there so hot and heavy that everybody has this perception that, A, if my AC doesn't work, that is what's going to fix it, and B, that there's no harm, no foul, and both of those are just atrocious. All right, welcome back. You've got Dustin Atwood here in the studio. We are giving a healthy discussion about a lot of common things that folks have questions about. I either have you come to the shop or you call me on the phone, or, you know, there's a portal that you can email or message questions through our website. And some of the most common ones, and I'm going to just dive right into the very most number one question, is how much? How much is XYZ? And it could be anything from an oil change to a brake job to I need a battery, an alternator, I need an engine, transmission, all kinds of questions. Because, you know, as things age, you're going to have a variety of issues. And it's a very difficult question just to weigh in on, because for years and years, and I'll even go back to when I started in the industry, you know, 1030 motor oil, for example, that was pretty much standard for every make and model. There were some high-end deviations or some import deviations, but the majority of everybody ran a version of 1030. Now, you might have a brand that you love, and I want such and such XYZ, but you got to stock one oil. So when you called up or stopped by, it could say, hey, this price, for your oil change on most makes and models is XYZ. The reality has changed, or the industry, I guess, has changed, and we stock more fluids now than we have ever stocked in the past, and it's because that is what the industry needs. And if you're running or you're going to a oil change place or a repair facility such as ours, and they're not having a discussion about, hey, what are you using this car for? This is the oil that's spec'd in it. What have you been running in it? Then you really need to make sure that they're putting the right fluids in your vehicle. I cannot stress that enough. I've always, kind of had this thought process about, why would anybody run a extremely cheap or inferior oil, the 995 or the 1995 oil change special in a multi-$1,000 engine. It just never made any sense to me. I want absolutely as many miles and reliable dependability as possible in a huge asset. I mean, when you look at things that you spend your hard-earned money on, I guarantee your vehicle is probably going to be at one of the top items. Your home and typically your vehicle is your second item. And that vehicle a lot of times is what allows you to pay for the home and then pay for hopefully some fun things that you get to do in the midst of it. So I never quite grasped that super, super cheap, low-end, low-grade, oil in a very, very expensive and very high-end as far as refined machines. When you look at a lot of what you all, and me included, are driving out there, anything, I'm going to say 20 years old or newer, the technology that is in those vehicles really came from a lot of the racing divisions that those manufacturers have been a part of for years. Let's just talk about turbos, for example. There's a ton of you out there listening right now that either know or don't know that you've got a turbocharged car. I have them come in the shop all the time. Hey, I need to run a specific oil in here. This vehicle's turbocharged. And the customer will be like, wow, I didn't know that. Okay, let's go ahead and do that. Well, what concerns me is, what have they been doing before? Oil intervals, as far as changing, checking the oil on a regular basis, that really is a huge, huge deal. And it can be very costly. And you would think, oh, well, you work or manage a automotive repair facility, costly is good for you. Absolutely not. How is that service at all? I love, absolutely love diagnosing, fixing, and repairing vehicles. But I don't get any thrill out of fixing or repairing one that the repair could have been avoided. There's nothing in it for us. There's an invoice on it, and et cetera, but that's not the reason that we show up and take care of business. It's also not the reason why we do the show. I guarantee you have avoided by educating a lot of folks out there. And I know because you've come seen us at the shop and I've talked to you in person and you're like, hey, this is what we want to do. If we can keep you from having a breakdown and failure, it's always going to be cheaper or less expensive to do that versus showing up on a tow truck and then you're, unexpected, you're not prepared for it, and then you've got to figure out how to make it work, which drives the stress level up drastically. So the how much is it has really changed a lot. I'll pick on Ford for a minute before I, get off my how much is it tab. Ford F-150s. Big fan, had many of them over the years, worked, diagnosed, and fixed droves of them as a company. Especially, we have really done, many makes and models over the years, but F-150 is a very common truck out there. Depending on, let's just pick on their brakes for a minute, depending on the length of the bed, the length of the cab, the gross vehicle weight, whether it has 5, 6, or 7 lug studs, there could be up to 7 different brake pad and rotor combinations for that one platform. Now, let's back up a minute. 10 years ago, you might have 1 or 2 on those trucks as they came out. And so it just is unbelievable, the difference, and they're all going to vary greatly in cost. So the how much is it really isn't the value question or what we have to offer. Now, we absolutely will tell you how much it is and stick to it. I get that. Is that the part that you actually need? And if it is the part that you need, did it fail just over time, or did something take that part out? And I see this time and time and time again. Cooling system work, I'll just use that for example. You know, somebody will come in, or they've put their own water pump on it and it's leaking again, or they've had it in another shop and they've put three or four, you know, water pumps or heater cores in it. I've ended up with these vehicles for many years at this point, where they continue to have the same part fail after that first part lasted, you know, 80, 120,000 miles, somewhere in there. Why are they getting repeat failures after that one had failed initially? And A, typically it always comes down to something else caused it. In this case, when we're talking about cooling related issues, it typically is lack of maintenance in the cooling system. Instead of the technician or the person doing the service identifying what caused the original one to fail, they just threw another part at it. And sometimes it's an inferior part quality. I'm very, very picky on where and who we get our parts vendors from. But I'm also very picky on what caused that part to fail. And I'm very, very thankful that we're surrounded with a ton of like-minded people, that is really the most important part of this deal is, hey, what killed XYZ? And how do we keep that from happening in the future? Because, A, you all don't have time to continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome. And what I mean by that is, if the water pump example, you don't have time to put seven water pumps on a car by the time you change all the coolant out and prevent that seventh one from being killed prematurely. It just doesn't make any sense. And the way that we do it internally in the company is through education. We invest a tremendous amount of time, money, and effort making sure that we continue to grow as a company. All right. You've got Dustin Atwood with A1 Custom Car Care. We're having a healthy discussion about common questions that I get at the shop. The next one we're going to dive into is, how much is a state inspection? Now, there's a ton of folks out there that are moving in from other states that aren't familiar with this, or maybe you've got a new driver that's not familiar with state inspections. That is a standard that Missouri, and I very much support, by the way, has set for our motorists to have at least the bare minimum, and I'll put it out there, they're not asking all kinds of crazy things. They want the front end decently tight. They want the brakes to, you know, function and work and have some material left before they need service. They want all your lights to work correctly, your restraints, power steering, tires to be in decent shape. So none of these are like really crazy, you know, big asks to make sure that you're safe as I meet you or my family meets you coming down the road. So I'm very much appreciative to the fact the state of Missouri still does that and has stuck to it, where a lot of states have gotten rid of it or away from it. And we have a couple of shops in a state that doesn't have state inspections. And it's absolutely unbelievable the cars that are towed in on tow trucks due to failed components. Now, that cost is $12. It's $12 no matter where you go, no matter who you have do your inspection, it's going to be $12. Now, they have changed some rules on that. They've gone to, you know, 10 years or 150,000 miles. You're not going to have it done. So they have laxed on some of the front side of it. But if you have an older vehicle, you're going to have to get it inspected depending on how you license it, you know, every year, or you can go with a 2-year license. And I encourage that. So it gives you for $12 a really good insight on the general safety condition of your vehicle. Now, this isn't looking at coolant leaks and oil leaks and, you know, related items. It's, you know, we're not getting into any of that. I might mention it to you if it's just making a huge mess in the floor of our shop. Hey, you know, you need to keep an eye on the oil and keep it checked in full until you get this leak fixed at this point. But that's just a general courtesy to make sure you're informed on the condition of your vehicle, because nobody likes being blindsided with a repair. I don't care, myself included. You know, if I go downstairs and I got to call a plumber, then, you know, hey, I'm not expecting that. That's not going to be a, oh, great, you know, we've got to get that taken care of. So Being informed to where you know and expect what's going on usually takes about 30 minutes. It's not a real lengthy process. We will operate the steering from lock to lock, make sure it moves and functions correctly, see how the brake pedal reacts, how it stops, how much travel there is, pull it in the shop, unload the front suspension, go through anything with the exhaust system and make sure you're not getting any carbon monoxide poisoning. And I can continue to go on and on and on and on for $12. And so it is a very reasonable look at your vehicle to where you don't get those unexpected items. Now, if you've waited until your, you know, tomorrow it expires or it expired 2 days ago and you've already got a citing for it, you know, you have to understand the process is still the same. We need to take the time to go through it. And if we run into any issues, our offering is, hey, we don't have to be the one to take care of the issues. If you'd like us to, we gladly will. If you want to know what it would cost, we'll do that as well. If you're capable of taking care of it, that's okay too. But you have basically 30 business days to get it taken care of, or 20 business days, so 30 days in general, counting Saturday and Sunday, before you have to pay for another inspection. So they have really done a good job trying to make sure that, you know, you can get it addressed in a timely manner. And we're here to support you in however we can to make sure that that happens. So state inspection is statewide, obviously. Everybody's going to be $12, roughly a 30-ish minute inspection process. I encourage you, especially in the time that we're in right now with the DMV having to get an appointment, call you and wait, I encourage you to call or log in and set up those appointments with us and available in advance to make sure we're available as well. We have a lot of folks that just pop in on their way to the DMV or on their lunch break and expect us to have a rack free. And if I've got it free, absolutely, we'll do what we can. However, if I don't, I don't want you to be inconvenienced. So that proactive approach, or the interaction for the customer to kind of drive that, we have streamlined that process greatly. Obviously, you can call our locations and we have live people that will answer and take care of you. If not, we will give you a buzz back just as quick as possible. But we also have ways that you can go through our website, get those scheduled, and make sure that we respond back to you to say, yep, this is going to work. We'll get it taken care of and go from there. So that's a very popular item. How much, when, and if it doesn't pass, what can we do about it? So hopefully that's a good overview of that as well. Another one that I get is, you know, will you install my XYZ part? It could be alternator, battery, brakes, you know, mirror, you know, a trove of things. And I'm going to weigh in on that just a little bit here. And some answers it is yes, and some answers it's no. And really what drives that is whether it's a benefit to install your part or not. If it is a custom part and you have a vendor that, you know, you have, I like radiators is an example. A lot of times it's going to be a better shot that we install the factory original radiator. And I have a prime example. We made a concession for somebody a few months ago and they had told us, which was not accurate, that this radiator was from such and such dealer. Well, once we got it in there, the radiator was not made exactly to original equipment, and we could not fasten the radiator hose back to it. It had a quick coupler style like the European market has used for years. And once we got it installed, we were just about finished putting the front end back together because this was a bumper removal core support front end removal to change this particular radiator. It was a little over 6 hours. And we had made a concession for the customer. You know, they claimed that it came from a dealership. And we found out later that it had been ordered on a, you know, internet website that sold bulk discount parts from God knows where. And that is why we couldn't finish the installation. Now, really, that goes to, you know, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Customer, you know, we had this, you provided this part, we're 6 hours into this, and now what do we do at this point? Well, the labor is still costing. You know, I've spent all that time, and the fact that it didn't fit, if it had been our radiator, we would have ate every bit of that time, and the customer would have billed no different. So there are times that it is not beneficial at all to the customer, and we'll flat say no on high labor-related items. Now, if you've got a custom radiator for an old hot rod that you had custom built and you want us to install, we can have a discussion about it and talk about it. But if there is a ton of labor involved, it just doesn't make any sense. And anymore, about most services that you do, there's quite a bit of labor because they've not made the vehicle serviceable. I mean, you think about the cars back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and even going further than that, a lot of times you had to be your own mechanic in order to own and operate a car because you were continuously working on it. So the fact that they've made them so much more, almost allow you to not do anything but put gas in it and drive it, is just absolutely a engineering accomplishment. And it really, really is. It will compensate, and a lot of our diagnostic strategies is that it compensates, and I'm looking at how it has corrected for a fault that's in there, and that's how we're finding what's going on with the vehicle. Very, very important. And that's why you can get 200,000-400,000 miles out of a vehicle anymore with, you know, moderate to, you know, abundant maintenance and repair. As I think out here in the parking lot, my personal pickup, I think it's about 280,000 miles. My service truck is well over 300 at this point. Our service truck, we have a shop truck for the company that delivers parts and picks up things for us. It's well over 300. I think I looked, it's in the 340 range. So it's amazing what you can do with a modern vehicle anymore, but you got to give it a little love from time to time. But it's also more difficult to take care of it and repair it. Kind of picking on Dodge for a minute. There are some Dodge products that I really like, but some of you out there are driving vehicles that don't have a dipstick for the transmission anymore. That's a piece of equipment as a company we've had to add to make sure that we can adequately check, top off, and service the transmission with a scan tool, because I have to know what the temperature is, and a special dipstick that we have to keep because it's not meant for the vehicle. So it's just the things have changed quite a bit. I think even culture has changed a lot. I mean, I've made this statement many times that, you know, used to back in the day, they had full service gas stations where you would pull up and somebody would come out, check your air pressure, go ahead and check your fluids. If you needed air filter, oil, wipers, belts, they were there pretty much every time you showed up for a fuel up to make sure that you were topped off on fuel. And that made sure that you didn't have any breakdowns in between. I want you to take a moment and just think, the last time you pulled up at a gas station, did you see anybody's hood open? Did you see anybody, you know, kind of checking tires? Well, the tire pressure monitor system does that for you from the driver's seat, which is a really fantastic change in engineering to make sure that you kind of are in the loop on what's going on with the car from the driver's seat. So really, really important. But nobody checks the oil at the fueling stations. I mean, very, very seldom. As we have new drivers in our family come through, that's something that I'm working with each one of them, that, hey, this is, you need to check it. You need to check it weekly. If after a week it's still in good shape and you've done that for several weeks in a row, maybe we can get to checking it every other week. But that's really my personal threshold of what should be done on a vehicle to make sure that it doesn't have any oil starvation or oil usage issues. Now, a lot of folks think that that oil monitor system or the car will tell you that it's low on oil. And for most of you out there, it is not. There's not an oil sensor that shows that, hey, you're quart low on oil, you need to put oil in there. It just doesn't exist on 99% of cars. There is an oil pressure gauge. I get that. Back in the day, it truly was a pressure gauge that varied with pressure. Now it is a switch, and the engine computer gives an estimation to give the driver a peace of mind. So you cannot bank that that is the end-all be-all, because it's not a true reading. Very important, most people don't know. Once it comes up to 10, 11 pounds on some vehicles, it shows halfway up on the gauge. Well, you take that for granted, but it's not always accurate. And a lot of times collateral damage happens in the midst of all that. So very important things to know, very important things to factor of, you know, what care needs to be done. And if repairs are needed, we ran a spot and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I think Ryan cut the ad, but the part was from Never Gonna Work a Stain. And that was kind of a joke, and we kind of, you know, laugh and poke fun, but that's the world that we live in. You can get parts from all over the world and then want to have somebody install them for you and hold them accountable for that. And if it's an inferior part, no matter how good we are, if it didn't make it, it didn't make it. Well, that time has to be taken care of. So is it in your benefit? Now, with the flip side being on that, if we install a part that we have got from one of our commercial vendors, we don't deal with a lot of your discount part stores, if you will, that service, you know, the general community. We have commercial vendors, whether it's a dealer or a professional parts house that only deals with commercial accounts such as A1 Custom, then we have that relationship and recourse that even if it is a failed part right out of the box, such as the radiator we talked about earlier in the show, then I don't have to go back to the customer. I have that relationship with the vendor. The vendor will stand up and say, all right, we're going to be held accountable. We're going to take care of this. Here's another one. And here's, you know, what we need to do for you. And the customer never has to have any more money out of pocket. So that's very, very important. If you get a part from golly knows where across the country and think that it's the same as the part that we are going to install, more often than not, it's not. We offer a 3-year, 36,000-mile nationwide warranty on most of our repairs, which is a very, very strong warranty. I cannot offer that kind of warranty if I have gotten an inferior part or I don't have any backing from the manufacturer. So there's a huge, huge difference of what you get off the internet versus what it is that we're coming to market. And if you do have an issue, and I had some folks, I want to say they were in Louisiana or Kentucky. I can't remember. They were somewhere in that area. And I realize that's a little bit far apart, but they had had an issue with a part that we had installed. They were able to use the warranty coverage, get it to the shop. The shop took care of it. The shop was paid directly from our warranty company. The customer was out no more money, and they were back on the road again. That is peace of mind. That's really what we offer. And I challenge you to try and get that from one of these online parts houses. I had another customer. He had ordered a very high-end battery. He came into the Fort Street location. The battery was less than 6 months old. It was several hundred dollars, and it had already shorted out or, you know, basically lost its charge and would not take a charge anymore. It had a shorted cell. So instead of 12.66 volts, which is what a 6-cell battery should have, each one has 2.11 volts in it, he had a little less than 10. And so that basically showed me that internally, two of those cells shorted together and the battery would no longer function. So he contacted, wherever internet bulk part store was, and they said, sure, you know, we'll take care of it. You pay shipping back, you pay shipping. He was going to have more in shipping than he would have just having me put a good quality battery in it, that if he has any problems, I'm going to take care of it 100% part in labor. And so at that point, obviously, he just basically cut his losses and said, hey, if I need anything else, I'll just come see. And he has for many years at this point. But that was kind of the relationship at that point. You know, we had done service for him. He tried to get a deal online. You know, sometimes they pan out, sometimes they don't. But that was a costly lesson that, sometimes not everything's created equal. And the fact of having a brick and mortar location that you can call or you can email back and forth or show up to, and there's the same staff that's been there for many, many years that you can have that conversation. And a lot of times, I know as a technician and the technicians that, you know, we have at A1 Custom, they will remember many years ago repairs that have been done, why it was done, how it was done, the part that was put on there. et cetera, because we have that mindset. You know, unfortunately, maybe I'll, you know, scratch my head to remember somebody's name, but I'll remember the engine that's in that car. I'll remember if it's an automatic or a manual transmission. I will remember the last time I worked on it and what I did. That's just how I have noticed over the years that a great technician, kind of their minds work. You know, we may struggle a little bit in other areas, but that is an area that we typically excel in greatly. It's always fun for me to walk through a large parking lot, whether it's the mall or Hy-Vee or Walmart, and hear cars start and drive around as I'm walking in. I will be able to hear, you know, a high amp draw starter, a weak output on a battery, brakes, wheel bearings, tires. It is just amazing. And it's a lot of fun when I take one of the guys and we go grab lunch or, you know, we're out, you know, doing something after work. Their minds work the same way. And it's really neat, you know, if you can identify a vehicle without seeing it by the way it starts, by the way it sounds as it runs down the road. When I was a kid, my dad and I, he was a dealership paint and body guy, which does a lot of mechanical related stuff. And that's kind of how I got in this field and such a love for it, honestly. But at night we would play kind of a game to where we would guess a vehicle by its headlights or taillights before you could ever see it and try and guess what year it was. And I can remember specifically, Republic Road wasn't built up near like it is now, but we were running down Republic Road coming back from Springfield. My uncle lived up there off Scenic, and we were playing the game at night, and I had finally trumped him on one, or I got one that he didn't, and it was a Corvette, ended up what it was back then. But that was always kind of a neat point, and I can remember that being kind of a turning point. I was probably... I was probably 13 or 14 back in then. I wasn't near of driving age, but I've always had that love for cars and, you know, how to make them go and stop. As a kid, I pretty much took or, you know, got whether it was old lawnmowers that didn't run anymore and got them running and we would use them. And then when I got into driving, a lot of times that's where my first vehicles were. They were vehicles that nobody else could keep running, and I would, you know, band-aid them up and learn and, you know, make some mistakes and grow. And God knows I've made some mistakes over the years. But as a technician, and hopefully everybody out there, as you make a mistake, as long as you don't make that same mistake over and over and over and over again, and you continue to learn from those mistakes, those are some of the most valuable lessons. And a lot of times I'll share with the staff, as we're bringing in a lot of young technicians at the moment, we have an amazing, each location we have has got a veteran, very high level, typically master certified technician. And I'm super duper proud of that. But what we have done as a company is figured that, hey, we need to build some of our next generation of technicians or usher in some new folks, because, you know, for you can't do this forever. At some point in time, you've put in your time, you want to retire. And we are very thankful that we absolutely have those strong, strong veterans, but we're reinvesting back into some of the young community. So if you are a strong veteran somewhere and things aren't going well, I definitely would love to talk to you. See if A1 Custom would be a good fit for you. But if also you're a young person in the industry and you have had some formal training or non-formal training and you're looking for this to be a career for you, and I truly mean that is a career. I mean, for over 15 years, this has been my lifeblood for me and my family and has been very, very good to us and the community as well. I can't tell you how many cars I drive down the road and say, okay, I put an engine in that car. I did brakes on that car. Those are our tires, or that's our dual exhaust job. And I share that with you with a lot of pride. I recently had a gentleman who's a listener of the show. I believe he's in the diesel side of the world. He comes several miles, honestly, probably well over an hour, to have us do a significant amount of service work to that. And that continues to be a trend more and more and more as we go. So the more we can invest in each other and have a, you know, a better, stronger community as a whole, that's a huge, huge deal. And so A1 Custom is definitely doing that and has for years. I was truly hired as an apprentice, and I started in our Republic location after a two-year trade school in Monette, Missouri, in automotive technology. Had fantastic instructors. So it's really awesome to be on the other side of that and have some young men that are doing a great job. And if there's some young ladies out there that feel that this is the field that they want to be in, there's more than enough room for skilled, qualified people that want to continue and grow. And that's really what A1 Custom has done for years. And I'm a shining example of that. Hopefully I can say that. I've spent a lot of their money, a lot of their time investing in me, but we've fixed and made sure that a lot of folks have a dependable vehicle. They've avoided hopefully buying vehicles that were going to be plagued with issues and, you know, continue to make sure that every time they need to go to the hospital, to work, to the doctor, to family and friends, or something fun, that they can do it at will. Because you don't want to lose that freedom. I mean, think about this. You take away your car keys right now. I guarantee the biggest urge you've got is going to be you want to go somewhere just because you quote unquote couldn't. So we want to make sure we limit and we have the staff and the team. And I could not be prouder of the staff and team that we've got at A1 Custom. So sometimes you have to take a minute to see where you've come from. To see really how far you've gone. And as a company, as an industry, it has really been very fulfilling for many, many years and many, many years to come. So the staff we've got is just top shelf. If you've been to any of our facilities, you've met them. We've got Mike out of Republic, Miss Macy at 4th Street, and we've got David and Ryan at Sunset. I hope you guys have an awesome and safe weekend. We will be back, hopefully in studio here pretty quick. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week from 10 to 11.